Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm live from Santorini, Greece, with comedian and my boyfriend, Ben Morrison. We'll be talking about what you learn on the first trip you take with a new partner, my two favorite words, vacation sex and why it matters, tips for difficult couple conversations and how to get through them. I promise you've dealt with a few of these. Toys to bring when traveling, and my favorite new sex position. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Subscribe to the podcast. You can review us on iTunes. I love when you do that. And tell your friends. If this show has helped you and you love it, or there's a certain episode you like, share it with a friend, share it with a lover, listen together. Thanks, everyone, for supporting the show and for being there. I love being here for you, even when I'm traveling. Oh, also, you can find us all social media at Sex with Emily, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. All those good things. So I took a 2-week vacation. I've never done this before. Maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I went here for 2 weeks. But since I started Sex with Emily 13 years ago, there was no time to travel. I've been building a business. I've been working my ass off. And I decided this was the year to get out of town. And I am right now. I'm with Ben Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
We are recording from the most beautiful place in the world, probably the most romantic place. We're in Santorini. It's an island in the Greek islands.
The Cyclades.
We've never been here.
We never even
planned it. I was like,
we'd only been away for like a long weekend, and then we're like, hey, let's go to Greece for 2 weeks.
Exactly. So,
do you know anything about Greece?
We knew nothing about Greece. So anyway,
You cook with it. I knew that.
Cooking with Greece. But anyway, so let me just go back to this part that I've never taken a trip. And I was like, you know what? My listeners are cool if I go away. I've got a lot of shows. We actually did a bunch of shows before I left. And this has been just really interesting. I always talk about how it's so important for couples to get away together. You know, people forget to travel. Even if you have kids, you're like, we can't leave. Or people tell me they have kids and the kids are 8 or 10 or even 3 years old. And they're like, yeah, we don't have sex. We don't connect. It's because you need to get out of your house. You need to see a different bedroom, a different bed, and just change up your location and connect again. And so, and there's also
hotel room sex. You can get a lot. You can get much dirtier when you know someone's going to wash them linens in the morning.
So anyway, Ben and I decided to go to Greece. I've always wanted to come here. I believe Ben has too.
Yeah.
And since I'm not super busy up until the day we left, and yeah, we booked the ticket a month ago. I was like, Greek island sounds great. I want to go lay on a beach. I want to relax. I don't want to stress. And you know, it's been a long time since I've traveled internationally for pleasure. I've definitely like went to. Where'd I go? Germany for work a few years ago. But it's like, this is like a trip. You got to plan it. We didn't plan. And so that's also can be very taxing on a relationship when you don't plan things. Even at home, if you're like, where do you want to go dinner? Why don't we plan anything? There's nowhere to eat. What movie are we going to watch? That can be stressful. But when you land in a foreign country and you don't know where you're staying, how to get there, I don't know what I thought. I mean, I really didn't have time to look at it.
I landed,
but I was like, oh, Greek islands, it's easy. There's ferries. It's beautiful. There's water. And it's high season, no problem, but it can be more challenging. So we've learned a lot about each other. We're in Santorini. It's probably the most romantic place on earth. We just saw a proposal at sunset, and we're staying in a cave.
In Santorini. Just so they know, because we're staying in like the most beautiful part of the most beautiful part. It's I think the old city, Santorini is like a kind of like a half moon, and then we're at the very tip, and it's called Ia, and it's everything you think about when you think of Greek Santorini, kind of beautiful whitewashed cave dwellings on a cliff overlooking the ocean.
And so we're recording.
It's bananas.
It's bananas beautiful. And we are staying in we found this cave. We have a 2-story cave to ourselves. And it's amazing because the view here at sunset, which it's actually sunset right now.
Yep.
And we have this view that people are actually coming from all over. There's like mobs of people behind us, like taking pictures.
Behind us.
This is the view.
It's like the Today Show for podcast recording right now.
Like, what are those people doing? The good news is, not good news, I love America, but there haven't been a ton of Americans. A lot of people speaking French, a lot of people from all over. We haven't met a lot of Americans.
Yeah, no, we haven't met a lot of Americans.
So that's the setup. I just want you to know, I'm having some amazing white wine. Santorini is known for its white wine, so I had to get a bottle of that. And we just went on a catamaran boat thing today.
We lived that yacht life.
We lived the yacht life.
NBD, but Em and I, we lived the yacht life. We go away for a yacht. Santorini is so nice. It's so touristy.
So that's where we are. And you can check out these pictures. I think we've got a lot of... Ben... Not only is he a comedian, he's also a photographer, and he takes amazing photos. So I've been very lucky because he's taken like, how many photos have you taken? We won't post them all. He's editing them.
I mean, like my gallery of ones that like I love, or it's like, it's 220 at this point.
Yeah.
And just wait, podcast listeners, you have some of the hottest, most beautiful photos of your own Emily Morris are going to be hitting the airwaves soon because like, I like doing travel photography. I love it. But I really love being able to shoot someone and have a subject when I travel. And Emily is incredible. She really knows how to get her picture taken.
I do?
Yeah, like a mofo. Like you think you don't, but well, I'm like, move. And then it's like, ba-blam. And then I'm like, move. And you're like, ba-blam.
Well,
every pose.
You know what you're doing.
Oh, she's...
No, I'm not even.
I took a model to a cave in Santorini.
I post more on Instagram. Let me tell you what's been amazing. A lot of things is that... I've not been on my phone at all. I've checked Instagram. I really have not checked email very much. Obviously, everyone in the office can get a hold of me. They can text, but just there's something about unplugging. And so the other reason why I took 2 weeks, though, just getting back to this for a moment, is because everyone was like, I've heard this over the years, oh, you go away for 2 weeks, you have to. Like, I'm thinking, yeah, right, I could ever do that. But they're like, you have to do it because the first, you need a week just to get into vacation mode. I'm like, that's ridiculous. And I have to say, it was a little challenging. I mean, I don't expect you guys, like, it's like the smallest violin in the world is playing for us right now because it was stressful the first 5 days. So I was working up until we left. I suck at packing. I was up, literally did not sleep the night before because I was like, oh, I should put things in a suitcase. And then we traveled overnight. And then, so that was two flights.
From the West Coast, when you come to anywhere in Europe, you fly to the East Coast, JFK, and then you typically take an overnight flight and land in Europe like 4 days later. I have no idea how the time works. I know that we're flying into the future while it's becoming the past. Like you take off in July and you land in August. Right. I have no idea. And right. it really
taxes you. So we landed in Athens and we hadn't slept. So that was going on 2 days. And we're like, okay, where should we go?
Super duper new rolling suitcase was really
okay. So I went to
life easy for me.
The night before I left at 12:30 at night, I was leaving at six. You were coming out at 6:30 in the morning.
I left you at like 11 broke. And you hadn't started packing and our flight was,
I bought a new
like
suitcase at 12:30 in the morning. At
I didn't know Ross was even open until 1 a.m. That must be depressing. Who goes to Ross at 1 a.m.
It was very depressing.
If you go to Ross already, shit ain't going too good.
So anyway, I had a big suitcase. It was stress for less. It was stressful though. So I was packing, I was up, and then we get to Athens and we land and it's just hot and I have way too much stuff with me. Turns out I have nothing that I need and all the things I don't. And this suitcase is just shitty. So we get to Athens and we land and it's the morning. I guess it's like noon or something. And we're like, we want to go to, I figured that since I'm really jonesing, I really need a vacation, right? I pictured me sitting on like the most beautiful beaches with blue water and just lying out and like lying there and reading and sleeping. And I was like, let's just go to Athens on the way back and let's leave Athens right now and go to one of the islands. And we knew that we wanted to go to Santorini and we'd both heard of Sifnos and Ben's parents went there. They've been together 41 years.
Yeah, they went to Greece. Actually kind of a similar trip to us.
They probably planned more though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Marianne Morrison does not leave the house unless itineraries are printed, e-ticketed, and we are not them.
No.
So part of the fun of this whole thing, when you don't plan, it can go one of two ways, and it often goes both in the course of a vacation. When you don't plan, the advantage is discovery. You meet someone, they say, oh my God, you have to see this one place. And bam, before you know it, you're on a ferry going there. That's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario is that you're like, you land and you're like, we don't know where we're going to live. No one speaks English.
Exactly. And the other thing is everyone's like, when people's like mouth agape.
What's a souvlaki?
When I told them a week ago, I was like, I was at my best friend's birthday in Simpson Beach in San Francisco. And everyone was like, you haven't planned yet. Like people's faces, they're like, it's high season. It's travel tourist season. And I always knew that I'd find a place because I used to, when in my 20s, I went backpacking through Southeast Asia for 9 months and I had a one-way ticket to Bangkok and I was a traveler. And I remember just kind of figuring it out as I went along. And I figured this, I knew that I wasn't worried about us finding places. It was just that I literally didn't know. I realized I'm a bit of a princess too. Like I want a nice place and I want to be quiet. I want to go to the beach. So anyway, we get there.
Princess?
What?
We're looking at like baller hotel rooms and she's like, no, the linens are not up to my quality.
I want nice linens. I want to be able to sleep.
The linens.
So anyway, people are like, what? You didn't plan? So I actually wasn't worried about finding a place because if you look online at Sifnos, there are still a few hotels left. So we end up we decide to get a ferry. We get to this beautiful island and we have to drag our suitcase up the hill. I end up throwing my back out with my suitcase filled with nothing that I need. And we get to this place called Sifnos House, which is in the port. And it's a beautiful hotel. Lovely couple owns it. And we,
they loved
it was like 10:30 at night.
They loved us
until you told her.
You went up to the host door. It was so sweet. And they were like fawning over us for like 3 days. And then on the last day, she's like, hello, Emily. And you're like, we're going to go to an Airbnb.
Because Ben told me to say that. He goes,
I didn't tell you to say that.
You said to me,
why would I tell her to tell
you? I don't know why, because it was really
stupid. You just came back and you were like, oh my God, babe, I just told her I was going to Airbnb.
I did it because you told me to. You're like, just tell her that. And I was like, see, this is what I've learned a lot, is that Ben and I have learned who's like, what each person, so when you travel with a new partner, well, I thought either I'm going to love him more or we're going to break up. It's what I figured it's going to be one or the other, because you learn a lot in 2 weeks.
I thought I was going to go like super in love on our final island, or you're on like
one island.
Patos and I'm on Mykonos and no one can find me.
Exactly. Good riddance, Ben Hill. Send me the pictures.
Hey, I'm right here.
No, but I'm saying if that's what happened, but that didn't happen.
But it didn't happen.
Well, I'm not a planner for vacation. I also have very high standards, meaning we have very limited time. And I wanted to do the research about, now that we're there, I'm like, where's the beach? How do we get around? Like, I want to know the restaurants, the best restaurants. Yeah, and the best beaches.
Emily's like, I refuse to stay in anything but the best. You're like, okay, where? You're like, I can't deal with this right now.
Our hotel was beautiful. So we had a little bit of struggle, and a lot of it, I remember, like, it's jet lag, it's struggling, but we kind of settled into it. And then we ended up, it was beautiful. We ended up renting a car. And going
our little
to like
panda,
six,
a little, our little panda, Fiat Panda, little
beaches.
I hadn't. It's a manual, as basically all cars are here. And Stifnos is just like straight hairpin, like ancient city, like winding roads. And I hadn't driven a manual in, I don't know, 8 years. Like, I moved out to LA from New York. I drove out in a manual, but I haven't really touched one since. And then you get in the car, and it's like you kind of have to learn by doing. And in Greece, like, the streets are thin. There are no there are no stoplights. I've not seen a single stoplight trip.
Right.
And in Stifnos, there's no fucking addresses. Like, there just aren't.
They don't have street numbers or addresses.
But that is how tiny and remote and Grecian. It's absolutely beautiful. And there are about eight small to medium beaches peppered all over the island. And literally, from the top of the island to the bottom of the island is maybe a half an hour drive. Just beautiful, okay, Small winding roads. So we got a car and we're just like, let's see this whole fucking island. Yeah. And
I feel like we needed the jury in our heads that here we were in this beautiful place. And the things we realized that we both, and I think a lot of us do this, but I would get in my head about things like stupid. Like, I'm in literally one of those beautiful places. We're driving around. I'm not working. People aren't calling me. Things aren't happening. And I'm like worried. And I'm very much like, I like to be comfortable. And I was like in my head going that. So why do you do this? You've done this before. And like, I kept getting pulled off about what I don't have and like worried about doing things wrong. And did I mess up the trip? And do I even like this guy? And so,
whoa.
I'm kidding.
Back up.
No, I knew I liked you.
Back up one.
Why do I like you? But then I'd look at Ben and he's worrying about stuff too.
See, think about Emily and I. We're like, we're born on the same fucking day. Like, we're
Geminis.
We're June 2nd Geminis, man. And she, it's a blessing and a curse in the sense that if I see her detach, it's like.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
That I can see her. She's present and then she's not. But I can help her out of that because I'm the exact same way and kind of need similar coddling when I go from present to internal, which is literally just, it's like black and white. And I was the same way too, you know, like I think when you're so far away from home,
jet lagged,
you can't rely on the fact that you have everything you need necessarily. Like that brings you comfort in stressful situations is the stuff that you planned for. And I think that was the security blanket you didn't have.
I didn't have that security blanket. And then I also was like, why didn't you plan? Like, we're at this beach. Like, the first day we asked the guy at the rental agency, what beach to go to. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the beach. It was the remote beach, but it wasn't even, it looked like.
Well, the first beach we're at, it's the port, and it's where a lot of families go because the beach is really shallow for far out. So it's great for kids. And Emily, and it's fucking beautiful. It's like, it's a
not
Grecian.
Not that beach. I'm talking about the northern beach.
Oh, the remote beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, it's beautiful. I'm like, this is not.
Well, we drove to the very tip of the island.
We took his, and so I'm going, we're at the wrong beach. This isn't the beach. I just want to lay out. Like, I kept thinking, like, I was at this beautiful beach. I kept thinking, this is the wrong place to be, which is my conditioning. Like, sometimes even at home, I'll be like, I'm doing laundry, but I should be like working, or I'm working. And I'm like, I really should leave now. And I have this thing in my head that's like this unsettled voice and these voices. And I realize that a lot of us have these struggles. And then I've done so much work around being present, and I've done a lot of meditation. I've done a lot of therapy and self-help work where, you know, if you take a look at those voices, you realize they're yours. You're programming it. You're programming that channel. And we realize we actually had a name where it's like the jurors in our head, like the negative.
It's the bad news network.
It's a bad news network.
This
in our
just
head.
In, everything's wrong.
Everything's right, exactly.
Details to come. Keep pondering.
And you could keep creating a story like, why am I here? Why do I only have, 2 weeks? I'm going to get back. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to regret it. And like, literally, it doesn't stop. And then I finally jumped. Yeah, it's a bad, but you realize that that is being programmed by you. So if your internal voices in your head, or the message you tell yourself, or the negative thoughts, is a station that you program, right? So it's called the bad news. And we're like, why can't it be like the good news network? Like, why can't it be like, this is beautiful? And then what I did, you guys will appreciate this, is then finally I jumped in the water. And I'm not at the remote beach, because I still didn't love that beach. But it was at some other beach the next day. I was like, the voices were going in my head. They were so loud. Because you understand, you guys, when you have these, it's almost like a coping mechanism to take you out of the present moment. So I did what I tell you a lot of you guys to do, like during sex when you can't focus and you're like worried about your, if you're gonna ejaculate, or if you're not gonna have an orgasm, or how you look naked. I thought, okay, you're in this most beautiful beach and you're thinking about, I don't remember what it was. It doesn't even matter, you guys. I thought, okay, go into your senses. And I looked at the sky and I was like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful sky, the most beautiful water. What do I feel? I feel this warm, delicious Grecian beach water running over my body. I feel the sand underneath my feet. What do I hear? I hear the wind blowing. I hear the waves. I smelled like
water.
I smelled water. It didn't matter. But what I'm saying is, it didn't matter what the details were. Is it by tracing my senses, what I felt, touched, what I hear, what you taste, I immediately was like, and I was able to breathe. I felt all this tension. Because I think also the fact that I had this notion and this belief in my head that I should be on vacation, and day one, I should just be relaxed and totally different than the Emily, sex with Emily, who runs a business and has a in San Francisco. I don't live there. In Los Angeles. And settle into it is also not true. So it's believing in my head, this expectation. So I just let it go. And I was like, and I heard the birds chirping. And then I swam over to you and you picked me up and you put your arms around me. And I was like, it all fell away. But that was like day four.
Yeah, it took a little while to get.
It took a while.
I was dealing with my own stuff too.
So what were you dealing with, Ben?
Just how the hell we wound up here, and the fact that we hadn't done any planning, and I was worried that would too negatively affect you. So I was worried on behalf of you, for you, and just dealing with my own internal stuff. You know, I think you, wherever you go, there you are, right? That's the phrase, you know? So my life in Los Angeles, like it's still there. It doesn't end once you go away. And I think you bring those things with you. And I was dealing with coping with them in the ways that I do.
It's true.
You know?
I always say that wherever you go, there you are, is one of my favorite phrases. It's true, because you bring it everywhere. And it's funny because the branding, if you will, for the island from Steve Knows is you are here. So we learned a lot. So I feel like we've kind of taken on different roles too, in the sense of like, I book the places, I make the plan for the day.
Yeah. What we've essentially figured out is that Emily decides basically where we're going to stay and what we're going to do, right? And then I keep her from losing her shit while we rock out all of those things. And then what I've learned about you and I is that we might put up a lot of BS on the way to an adventure and like try to convince us that we don't want to do it because of stupid reasons. But the second we get there, dude, it's like Robotron. We just nail it.
We
got in the hike. I had my adventure pack and the old backpack I have that she thinks I need to get a newer version.
That's, Yeah.
It's old. I've had adventures in the backpack. It's my adventure pack.
I got it. We've kind of talked about a lot of your things and updating your
Emily is.
Ben's a grown man, and he's got, and I love this about Ben. He really doesn't give a shit. Like he has clothes and backpacks he got in high school.
Fuck what people think. And I just have stuff that is sentimental. It's very comfortable to me.
Has stains on it. It's ripped.
The stains have are stories. I remember that stain.
Yeah, but like that doesn't mean you have to wear them. You have to wear them out. So it's been interesting.
Just ask me about my stain? Like, hey, fella, that stain looks worldly. As a matter of fact, I was in Amsterdam.
There's like six layered of stains on your things. Armpit stains.
Anyway,
so the point is,
we've been subtly rolling newer Santorini approved clothing into my wardrobe as the stuff that I brought gets.
Well, it's gray. Everything. So Ben doesn't separate laundry. He does the whites and it's black.
I want to ask your listeners and your male listeners here. Comment and let me know, legit, do you separate colors and whites? Because I will fully eat that maybe I'm the only one who just doesn't care. And I'm just like, it's clothes. Let's wash them. And I just throw them in, you know, and if there's like
a
bright red shirt.
If you don't mind if everything is gray that you own, that's fine. Gray. Everything's gray.
It's not gray.
Okay, or just, I thought everything was dirty, but now I found out that everything's just gray because you wash them all together.
I keep my clothes very clean.
No, they're gray though. So I'm like, why does everything have like a gray hue? It's like a layer. It's just, so yeah.
Long story short, every single piece of clothing I'm wearing right now is new because
it looks green on you. Not because of me. Okay, and you said to me, and you loved it. You've been wearing it the whole time.
I like it. She's helping me take it up a notch in the man
just
department.
Becoming a man and like thinking about. Because I think you like nice things too, but you don't think about it. So it's interesting also giving feedback or criticism, if you will, when you're dating someone. And I've never really been this person, not in years, where it's like, oh, I could see ways I could help Ben. Like you would like to have a new backpack, I think, that isn't like falling apart.
It's not falling apart.
Okay, fine. There's tears in it.
There's a little rip in one of the side pockets.
It's just fine. Or like you love your new... The point is... Sifnos is beautiful. Santorini is beautiful. Also, there have been wonderful things about our relationship. And I think this vacation sex thing, you guys, I know I'm always preaching to you guys that you need to get away, whether it's for a night or a week with your partner, just the two of you without the kids, because you change up your environment. You're not staring at the same ceiling in your bedroom with the laundry and the to-do list. And it's just not the same, right? And so being on vacation, and let me first say that I did pack a lot of sex toys. I didn't forget any toys.
She packed two cock rings. I was like, were you expecting a night to get real crazy? Was that in your plan?
Three.
But
I packed two pivots by mistake, two Levi pivots, like just in case. I don't know how I did that. So my packing kit was two pivots, the Crave.
What's that little tooth one you love?
Oh, the Jimmy Jane form too.
You love that one.
I love that one.
It's like a molar for your clit.
I love the We Vibe Touch too, but I didn't bring the Touch because I couldn't find it in my friggin' house. I brought the Tango. I brought two pivots. I brought the, what's the one that goes around your balls? Jesus. Hold on.
Keep in mind, she brought two cock rings, a Tango, a pivot, a Schlim Flam, and a Wing Wang. And forgot all of her sundresses. I just want your listeners to understand that's where Emily's mind is at. The most extensive thing she packed were sex toys, vulva pads.
I brought two pivots. I brought the Verge, which is also a vibrating ring that you can wear around your balls. God damn it. I brought two pivots. I could have brought another toy. And then I brought this Crave.
The one you wear around your balls, by the way, it is not a big opening for your balls. I don't know how you're supposed to get balls into that thing.
No, because you have to be...
You probably got to put it in one ball at a time.
You'd be flaccid, which is hard to find you flaccid when I'm around, which is sweet.
Especially
so I brought a lot of toys.
In Santorini.
We've also had we've had sex a lot. Mm-hmm. Two times a day?
A couple times a day.
Yeah. We have great, beautiful hotel rooms.
Beautiful.
And we also invented a new sex position.
We're trying to think of a name for it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the new position, which is like, I thought it was, for me, a really great new find. If you will.
Yeah. I mean, I think it solves a lot of problems, right? In the sense that when I am performing the act of oral lovemaking on a woman, you know, I take it very seriously. Like, do you want rose petals on your stomach? Or should I pour warm milk over your chest? Like, you know, are the candles good?
Strained neck.
Because
strained neck is a problem.
You have to give it time, right? Because you can't expect results within 10 minutes with a lady. Because as I've said before on the show, the best sex you're ever going to have is right after you bring your beloved to climax orally, because what that is doing is it's like it's getting all the internals red to go.
Right.
You know, that's what's happening on the inside when you're doing your thing. And the biggest problem I've always had is strained neck, really.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, I think most men kind of, most men, because they don't really talk about it. You're like, my neck hurts, you know? And she's like, keep licking. And the thing about strained neck is that it kind of puts a damper on me wanting to do it. And also, after, you know, it's 20 minutes of focusing on one person, and I like a little stimulation during that process also.
Right, which is why they invented 69, which I'm not a fan of.
But you're not a fan of 69.
So 69, as you guys know, is when like...
Why don't you like 69? Is it your butt's in the air?
No, dude, I don't give a shit about my butt. No, it's because I can't focus on two things at once. Either I'm giving or receiving.
Uh-huh.
So like if you're like, because if I'm giving you, if I'm sucking, if I'm giving you a blowjob, I don't want to be like, I will fucking give 110%. I can't focus on the receiving as much.
I don't know if I buy that.
Okay, but that's true. So
we
invented a new position for us, and it was sort of solved.
Guy lays on bed, head on pillow. Girl straddles head with knees
around his head.
Around head. So the neck problem is just like
neck problem. He's cozy. On our 5-star hotel, nice
for
linens.
For the lady flower.
Aren't you
going
good linens and good pillows?
Good.
So his head's getting supported, which is good. And then I
can't come
that.
Unless it's like 1,000 thread count. You
that's
know
how
that.
I feel. That was the other thing. So then I'm leaning back. So what happened was, so I'm doing that. I'm perfect position. He's happy. His neck's happy. I'm so happy because then I can control how far down I'm going onto his mouth. And then I lean back and I could still stroke you. I put lube. I use some lube. And then I could still lean back and I could give you a killer hand job, mm-hmm. like leaning back with my hand.
And well, that way, because of the position, my tongue can focus on the happy button while my chin can actually do some work of its
chin,
own.
I thought you were using finger. It was your chin. It was very interesting. Chin. It was a whole nother range of motion.
It came on the hair of my chinny chin chin.
It was like perfect because I could easily give a hand job more than I can give a blowjob during oral. And it was great. So we're trying to name it.
Yeah, we couldn't.
Does that make sense, everyone? Do we explain
the name
that well?
I like?
So
but
I'm
I don't
sitting,
think.
Yeah.
I like calling it the handy dandy, but that's it doesn't.
It
but
doesn't
it's too much
about
the handy,
right?
The clitty witty.
The clitty witty. The clear. Just you guys help us name it. Help us name this new position. So do you get it? Like I'm just leaning back with my hand. So
crunch.
I'm facing him, and my hands going back, and I'm giving him a killer hand job, like as I often do. And you were happy.
The lick and flick.
The lick and click. The lick and click.
Yeah, but I like the whole.
The licker flicker.
I still like handy dandy, but maybe we could just, I mean, we can do whatever we want.
What do you mean?
I mean, if we call it the handy dandy, it's called the handy dandy.
Fine.
Are we doing this?
I don't think we did commit to a name right now. We're not like going to trademark
anyway,
it.
Anyway, the handy dandy worked
dandy
some ancient powerful magic on you.
Yeah, it's great.
And the thing about the
it could have also
we're staying in a cave.
Oh, that's
like the rooms in Ia, like it's all built in the cliffside, and the rooms they go pretty far back, and they're a cave. I mean, a very bougie cave, mind you. Like there's two bathrooms. It's fucking
it's
amazing.
Two bathrooms,
are you kidding
two
me?
Showers, we have two stories
in the cave. I don't know, man. It just does something
yeah,
to like
no
my
can hear you.
Primal
it's
ancestral.
Prime. We were like living like cave people in the cave,
and the echo
and
in there too
sex.
Is like. Ha ha, and you, oh man,
yeah.
What? Why are you waving?
Talk about my orgasm.
Why?
He's just touristy.
We have an audience. Give them what they want. It's Santorini.
It does
anyway,
feel like the Today Show podcast.
The cave echoed with the howls of handy dandy. Give it a shot, guys.
It's beautiful. It's like a proverb, an ancient proverb.
What?
I don't know.
He ancient who kind of. Cavalingus.
Cavalingus. Cave. Something else we thought of. Cave wave. What did you say? The cave rave wave. Oh, wait, no, the wave. I don't know. So I actually finally feel relaxed. We have 4 days left and I kind of want to stay longer.
Do you?
We're going to, don't you? You can go. I know. Okay, that's another thing I've had to learn. Is that here's what another lesson for me is that I know I've helped a lot of you with your relationships and your love lives and dating and sex. And I'm going to admit something to you here that I have not prioritized my own relationships, meaning I haven't really been in a relationship in a while that I really And with work being so busy all the time, I really, or that was my excuse, I guess, for the last 13 years. I was like, if someone, I was dating somebody and they were like, you work too much or give me more time. I was like, I can't give my all to this relationship because I have a business and I'm trying to make a living and I have to support myself, pay my rent. So if you got in my way of it, if one, a lover, I, even though I knew all the right things to do, I, my heart wasn't in it. My head wasn't in it. And so being with Ben the last 9 months, I'm like, I don't know, it's timing. It's who Ben is. I'm just like ready to kind of employ all the things. And
it's so commit. Cute. She's having moments of discovery that everyone else who's had relationships had like years ago. She's like, oh my God, this is so cool. When you are a team.
Well, like,
oh my
team,
God, it's so cool.
Cause I'd be like, Ben, well, I'm going to go to the beach if you don't want to, or I'm going to do, I'm leaving, or like, I'm going because I'm such an independent, like I don't need you. Not like in a mean way, just like, and also I don't want you to hold me back. So if you don't want to do what I want to do, I'm going to do it anyway. And that's not great.
Yeah, but but you say that like expecting me to be like, no, we have to, I'm like, yeah, dude, go stroll. I'm going to read my fantasy novel. And look at photos. Get out of here.
Yeah, he's been curating photos a lot.
Oh my God.
So sweet.
So many photos.
So yeah, I guess it's just been, it's been magical. Look at where we are. It's just romantic. I get it. Some person just proposed over there. It is really all couples. It's beautiful.
So the first night we get to Santorini, and I don't think either of us really quite understood what this place was. Sifnos is absolutely beautiful, and it's the smallest little island ever. But Santorini is, I mean, even geologically speaking, is unlike anything I've ever been, I've ever seen before, ever. And we arrove tired, just not knowing what to expect.
A rove?
We arrived. Rove?
We arrived.
It's a rove, right?
It's a rove, a word?
And we get onto our balcony, and the blood red eclipse is lighting up the entire bay. I mean, you know, I don't think a lot of people in the States could see it, but in Europe, there was... What did they say? The longest, like the actual longest eclipse in a century?
Yeah, the longest eclipse, exactly.
And it was a blood moon.
It was a blood moon. So it was red and it was new. We were
and
eating at
Mars,
midnight.
Mars is super close to the Earth right now. So it was like this blood red moon lighting up the whole bay. And then Mars like shining so bright right next to us. You said kind of looks it looks like a zit.
It did kind of like pop that.
You're like, Doc. What is this?
It was beautiful. And you had a moment. I think your tears well up. I have a picture of you.
Yeah. I've been going through my own rather deep emotional process. I mean, this trip has been, yeah, I have been drinking too much and I use that to deal with anxiety, which I've had my entire life. And it's time to end that whole process. And I had decided that needed to happen a couple days before and was processing that. And then we get here and this blood red moon, like this once in a century eclipse is happening over the bay. And, you know, the thing about vacation is once you realize that you can go to the other side of the earth to the most beautiful place you've ever seen and your problems will be right there. Tucked inside
like,
the same
I know I
brain.
Packed a lot, but I did not pack my issues. I left my issues in California.
What?
But they showed up. Right. You think that.
Oh, I've been hearing about your packing issues. But honestly, in the first 4 days, though, I mean, I think you really have to acquiesce to the fact that your demons come with you and you can either continue to allow them to feed on your gray matter, or you can figure out a process to negotiate with them to just shut the fuck up and allow you to overlook this like volcanic crater, because you're never going to be able to see that. You're never going to be here.
I was telling you that my acupuncturist.
Your acupuncturist.
Said to me, Christian, before I left, he goes, oh my God, there's 3 eclipses coming up like in the next week. You're going to see. It'll be amazing. So I was like, oh, there's the eclipse. And he said, it's a great time. It's a great time for shedding things, for new beginnings, because you're literally eclipsing your old issues. You're bringing, you know, what you want next. And so I think that was a moment for you where you were like, mm-hmm. I was like, I said to you, Ben, it's the eclipse. It's a time for newness. Like you can just eclipse all that. You don't have to carry all that with you, all mm-hmm. that weight. And I think letting go of realizing that drinking doesn't serve you.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's not your friend.
Never really has.
Never has. And so I've known a lot of people.
Just so people understand, like I have like really crushing anxiety, but I'm quiet. You know, I don't really talk much about what's going on inside me because I've always been of the mindset that you can deal with your own internal problems. You don't have to really burden anyone else with it. Like why ruin their day? You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't work. after a while.
Numbing yourself with anything doesn't really work.
And I think, you know, people pick their poison in many different arenas to how they shut that voice up in their head.
And I work a lot, right?
Yeah. Yes. You're my little hummingbird. Like, you never stop moving, like, ever, even when you need to, you know, and then you'll go through periods of intense exhaustion related stress, but still refuse to change your patterns because you're just, you know,
right. Like,
you've built this thing and, you know, it's been you.
I'm really proud of you. I support you.
You're amazing. I support you.
But we're really having fun.
this has been the Grecian trip through our very souls.
It's true. It's been like we knew
the heart of darkness and the most beautiful place on earth, but right. We came out of it, man.
Came out of it.
Holy shit.
Yeah. We did this. We got this.
Yeah. We do got this. And I do got to give a shout out to my boy Manos.
Manos.
At
the Dream Hotel.
If anyone is considering coming to Santorini, you absolutely must stay in Ia. And might we recommend the place we're staying? There are three little villas, like cave villas, jacuzzis outdoor, private deck, overlooking the bay. And they have a couple employees that are, there's no real front desk, you know? And we've had an amazing amount of help from our boy Manos, who's arranged the catamaran tour. He's been awesome. He's been very helpful. And he washed my dirty laundry.
He did wash your dirty laundry. Okay, so I think we could get into some emails if you'd like to help the people.
I think it's time.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. Give a shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to all of you. Thank you so much for supporting the show all this time and for emailing me with your questions and calling in and just being amazing listeners and supporters. We'll be right back. On to emails. I love answering your questions. It's why I exist on the planet. If you want a question answered on the show, you can text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. You fill out the short form that pops up, or you can go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, and please include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. This is from Allie, 32, in Sacramento. I must have my vibrator during sex, so I packed a few options for my honeymoon, layover in China. They took my rechargeable from my checked luggage. Singapore, they took my rechargeable from my carry-on. The only one that survived was a super underpowered mini battery powered bullet. My worst nightmare, I was orgasmless on my honeymoon. Can you recommend sex toys that are good for travel, no lithium batteries, but are also super powerful? Where have you traveled with your toys, and what have been your experience with international regulations? Thanks. Wow, I packed all my stuff in the but I didn't have lithium batteries. But wait, is that what you have in the rechargeable ones? Right. Okay. So I didn't have that experience. I can't believe, but Singapore, they don't allow you to chew gum. I can imagine they don't allow you to bring toys in. Or in China, I'm in like Greece, which is like the birthplace of love.
My advice is, if you're just getting your toys snatched, just go to the local pharmacy and get yourself one of those vibrating toothbrushes.
No. I mean, you could do that. That's true. Since the beginning of time, people have used toothbrushes. Go to Good
Since
Vibes.
The beginning of time?
I would say, yeah, women, no. A lot of not.
We did actually see some cave drawings in the cliff of ancient Santorinians using toothbrushes for
electric
for
toothbrushes.
Copulation.
But it is true that a lot of people have their first orgasms through, through the water, through the jets and the... either in like a hot tub, like you had amazing jets here.
What was your first?
Or in the shower, or riding a bike or something, or a horse.
Was your
when
first?
They're like eight. They're like, oh my God.
What was your first?
My first orgasm was, it was with a penis, but it wasn't until I was like 23. Oh no. Okay. My first one was through masturbation, but that wasn't until I was 20. But my first one with a lover, I was like 23, 24.
You use the old vibrating toothbrush, huh?
No, I never use a toothbrush because I've always had vibrators. So
you don't use the bristles, by the way, just the base.
First of all, go to goodvibes.com and they have a bunch of vibrators. And I believe they have a section on there for travel vibes that are good that you can take when you travel. And I would also say that I love the Vibratex Pocket Rocket. The Vibratex Pocket Rocket was my very first vibrator I ever had. It is really reasonably priced, and it's like 15, 20 bucks, and you use batteries with it. And I know you're like, battery vibes, because they don't have many of those, but I would say it uses like one or two AAs. I get what you're saying with lithium batteries, so that means a lot of these rechargeables won't work. I'm wondering how carefully you had it packed. So I think if it was like on the top of your suitcase, they might take it out. But maybe if you wrapped it in something. So I used to wrap things in presents, like as a present or in a box with a ribbon around it. And people can't tell what it is if you're going to like China. Because it actually says in Singapore, the law states that sex toys aren't legal in Singapore. Because the law states anything obscene, you can't own, you can't take through travel or customs. So I would say that you might have to, if you are traveling to China, you're to Singapore, Southeast Asia, that maybe just bring some of these battery operated strong ones. Or I'm not sure which toys you brought with you, but all I know is that so many of my toys do not look like sex toys.
Well, yeah, just and get one I that looks it, like
I,
a
what
lipstick.
I do is I put them in my toiletry kit. Like I've got my vibrating, I actually have my vibrating toothbrush with me. I have my electric toothbrush and I have like my makeup jars. And literally like if you look at the WeVibe, like the Tango, okay, you guys, it is this the most powerful little bullet and it looks like it's pink. And it looks like it could be holding, it looks like it's a lipstick. Or what I would tell you, actually speaking of lipsticks, I would bring the Womanizer, which looks like lipstick. I mean, there's so many different ones out. The Crave one that I brought. What's the name of the Crave one I bought? It's not the Vesper. It's just this really cool. Oh, it's the Crave Bullet.
Or you could bring an actual lipstick and paint a target right on your clit so your man knows where he needs to go.
I don't get it. Oh, with the lipstick? I hope he already knows what time you're traveling. So that's my answer for... for what to bring. I actually should do a little short video of what I have in my travel toy kit, even though I just explained it to you. I don't know. Why not? You got your camera. So anyway, just check it out. And I'm sorry, really sorry that happened to you, Allie. And again, you guys, I would just get more creative about it and try to get the little vibrators that don't actually look like vibrators because, and most of them these days really don't, unless you get like the big insertion ones that look like a penis. Okay. Here we go. This is from Erica, 29, Alabama. Dear Emily, my husband and I have been married for 7 years and have a good sex life, but he wants to try anal again. We have done this before and I actually had an orgasm from it. We haven't done this in years, but he does play around my butt sometimes during foreplay. I am just scared it will hurt. I want him to be pleased. What's the difference for men between vaginal sex and anal? Great question. Okay, so first let me say this about anal sex is that I'm glad you're asking this question because I think that a lot of people, a lot of women I know have reported that the first time they have anal sex, it's just painful. Something happens, your partner does it, you rush into it, you don't use lube, you don't warm up. And that's why anal sex can be really, really painful. But the truth is there's just a few things you need to do to make sure that it actually is pleasurable. And people don't tell you this. So what I would say is to try it again. Well, first, let me answer your one question is that there is a difference for men, the difference with anal sex, I would say, is the tightness. It's a little more tighter to go into the anus, and it's taboo. So I think it feels different. We all want variety, right? Variety is the spice of your sex life. So if you want to spice things up, I think it's just, it's taboo. It's something different. It's not going into your vagina. It's going into your ass, and it also feels different. What do you think, Ben, about anal sex, the difference?
I haven't had a lot of
anal experience.
Anal experience, yeah. I always have, how do I say this? Not a lot of luck getting it in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. So my main tips for anal, that's all we're going to say about anal, is you have to go slow and you have to breathe. Because since we're nervous and we're tense around anal sex, we tend to hold our breath whenever we get nervous. You know, you got to breathe into it. It helps to have a clitoral orgasm first. Because I love that you had an orgasm the first time. Because, you know, the walls are very thin. So like the wall between your anus and your internal, like your G-spot and all that, you can actually, a lot of women do have orgasms. So, but you got to, it helps to have an orgasm first. So to have a clitoral orgasm, to be turned on, you know, already have sex or perform
oral. Mean, you got to prep the area too, you know,
you can't. Yeah.
You gotta stretch it out. You can't just buy a baseball glove and go play in the majors. I'd say just get a little butt plug and use that during foreplay, and that will physically prepare the area.
Exactly. So start to use a butt plug. That's great. Use a butt plug. You can also use fingers. You can just use lots of lube. Go slow and just start teasing. You said during foreplay he's already doing that. So I would say make sure that he uses a lot of lube, warms you up, sticks a finger inside, or use a great little butt plug. That's really fun too.
Pro tip for the fellas, if you're going to give the little starfish a smooch, then you are cut off from smooching the vagina.
Right. Don't go from anal to vaginal. Yeah, vaginal, don't. Anal. Don't go back.
Don't change
horses in the middle of the stream.
UTI City.
Yeah. Good, Ben.
Thank you.
Okay, so there you go. And I say definitely try it again. And just remember, lots of lube, go slow, breathe, warm it up. Okay. Justin, 20, New Jersey. Hey, Emily, I've been in a relationship for over a year now, and I've really gotten to know my partner and all the things she likes in bed. I was a guy that showed her she is capable of squirting, and when she does, it makes me feel like my expectation slash goal is made. Now, for some reason, she doesn't like getting to that point, and it confused me because I would have thought that's what other girls, what some girls may want, to be able to go above their limits and to be satisfied. I'm just confused as to why she no longer wants to reach that limit.
Thank you. I can probably answer that. She's probably just in her head about the cleanup, honestly.
Or she might not really think that he likes it, that he's into it. I'm wondering if...
I bottle it and sell it as a fine wine.
Is that what this wine is? So here's
the thing.
Your
normal
All I would
Grecian
say
wine.
Is that, Justin, I would say to you is that I think a lot of times what we don't want things, like vehemently opposed to things when they happen, is there might be something about that experience that she was embarrassed by. It wasn't as comfortable. Maybe she's afraid it's not going to happen again. And maybe there's a lot of pressure. You might not even be realizing that you're doing it, but there could be pressure on her to perform. And I think that when we get into our heads and she's worried that you don't like it or it's not going to happen, that, you know, she's just like, I want to take it off the table. No, that's a no. Because if now I want to ask you this too, did she enjoy it when it happened? Also, did she really enjoy it or was she doing it for you? I think that's the thing with sex. Sometimes we think, well, I'm doing it for his pleasure, her pleasure, our partner's pleasure, and not for our own. The other thing is, I want people to understand the distinction between squirting and orgasm. Some women can squirt and they don't orgasm. Some women obviously orgasm and squirt, and sometimes women do both. So it might not have been as pleasurable for her. So she might be like, you know, it's true that it takes a lot of G-spot penetration. It takes a lot of G-spot probing, either using your tongue or your finger or a toy. And I'm just wondering if she's already warmed up, has her orgasms, has her pleasure. That's all I can think of is why she doesn't want to do it. Yeah.
Do it in the shower. I'm telling you. I think it's probably she's just nervous about the fact that it can be quite explosive.
It can be messy. That's true.
You got to wash the sheets. And she's like it happened the first time. But then she was able to actually see that if you're getting into squirting, there's a good deal of cleanup.
There is.
And because of that, I think she might be cutting herself off to the experience. So my advice would be take a shower with your lady, hold her by the butt because her knees are going to get a little weak, crook the old middle finger. Put it inside. Make sure she knows her weight is supported because if it's going to work right, her knees are going to get weak. And then slowly go to town. And I think all the water coming off of her from the shower is going to get her in the mood. And I think you will be having your squirt fantasies lived out in no time.
You're so good at this, Ben. The other thing I want to say about the cleanup is that I'm sort of obsessed with the new, it's not new, but Liberator makes all the sex furniture. Like the wedge and different things like that. Like they make different, you know, because I think one of the big things during sex that we don't realize is that using pillows or a wedge or something to prop yourself up in different positions can really, really change up the whole game.
It's
so for
neck,
women,
it's that neck
putting
crick.
The neck, putting a pillow
handy
under
dandy.
Your butt. Right. Or a wedge. But they have this blanket. It's a throw. It's a throw that's for sex. It's for, it's like a king size or queen size throw that you put on your bed that is for sex. And it's really comfortable. It's really cozy, but there's no cleanup because you just throw it in the wash right after. I think just have that at the front of your bed. It doesn't look like anything. It looks like a regular, cushy, amazing, soft blanket, but it happens to be for sex. It's waterproof and it's amazing. So,
but I mean, like, what do you do with the actual, you know, you ever seen like a baseball team, like pull the tarp off of a wet baseball field? Like, all the fluid kind of pools.
But this one doesn't seep through.
Is it like a spongy?
No. It looks like one of those super cushy, fleecy kind of blankets. Feels amazing. Looks amazing. It's not cotton. It's not weird like tarp. It's not tarp. It's comfortable. You could literally sleep on it every night and you could always leave it on your bed. And then when you want to have some crazy sex, you just get on top of it. It's great for anal. It's great
That's good.
Squirting. It's great for lube. I really want like 10 of them. And so that's how I feel about that. This is from Laura, 27, London. Hey, Emily. My boyfriend and I have been together for about 10 years now, and we have sex generally twice a week. My issue is how to make involving sex toys feel more natural. I feel that during sex, it interrupts the flow of things to stop and get a toy, then start again. I'd really love to use my toys more, but I never seem to get the flow of things right. How would you resolve this? Thanks for your help. Love the show. Okay, Laura, you know I love anything about sex toys. So the first thing is, you've been together for 10 years. And the thing about sex toys is, once you start involving them, I think that, again, this is another thing that you're probably in your head about, because I'm sure he's supportive of it. And the easiest way to do it is to leave them charged up and ready to go right next to your bed. The last thing you want to do is be like, oh, I want a toy. Let me get up, walk across the room, get it. Is it charged? So there's certain prep that comes with using toys. And I think the other thing is just to have them, when you go in the room and you start having sex or you get in bed at night, pull it out. Have it on the nightstand so you can just grab it. There's no opening drawers. There's no opening boxes. And you just start to like turn on the toy. You can grab it. He can grab it, because I'm sure he wants you to have pleasure. The other thing is, it doesn't have to just be for you. So sometimes I'll use my toy. And Ben, you can talk about this, because I don't remember how we started with toys. I just know I always use them. But I feel like you could grab it and just, I like to use it on him too. Like I like drag it along his chest, along his penis. Like vibrations can feel great on men. But really, I think that once he sees how you use it on yourself, that he's going to be down and just, it just becomes kind of part of sex, like everything else that you do. So I'm not sure what part of it is awkward or not natural to you, but I think when it's just matter of fact, you don't overthink it, it kind of becomes like so natural, like brushing your teeth. You're like, just
roll it into your pre-sex, you know,
yeah, roll
jam.
Roll it into foreplay, roll
put on,
it into.
Put on an Apple Music playlist, wash your hands, powder your junk, put the toys next to the bed and go for it.
Right. I think that's true. I don't remember how we first started using it, but now you'll be like, get your toy or like whatever. And whenever we use them, or they're just there, or I grab it with like with confidence. I'm telling you, he's been with you. He loves you 10 years. He wants you to have pleasure. He wants you to feel good. And you're probably the one who's making it awkward. And you feel like there has to be this like seamless transition. And when it's just there, like everything else, like it's the same way I feel about lube. My dream is a lube on every nightstand. Like when I die, if there's a lube on every nightstand, I will be happy. So I feel like toys are the same thing. There should be no shame. There should be no embarrassment. I know that there is, but the more you're comfortable with it, the more you're like, yep, here's my toy. We're using this. And you start using it on yourself. He's going to be cool with it. He's your lover. When you say you never seems to get the flow of things right, I don't know how it could be wrong. Like there's no way to do it wrong. You just take what you want, use what you need, and he's going to love it. I love the pivot. Obviously I brought two of them, the cock rings. That's a really fun couple story. The reason why I brought it, I didn't mean to bring two, is because it's great clitoral toy. Like, so I use it as a clitoral vibe, but you could also use it during sex. He wears it around his penis and go to town. Feels great. But toys are, you were so cool with toys, right, Ben? Was there ever any point in your life where it seemed awkward?
No. I think toys are getting a lot easier too, because they're getting smaller. Like my idea of toys 5-10 years ago was just a dildo.
Right.
And now I see your like your space age bag of like NASA technology, and they're just, you know, quite small, little cute little vibrators.
And they feel great too, right? You like how it feels? Mm-hmm. I'm like, right? Yes, baby.
I like how it makes you feel.
Right.
For sure.
So Laura, that's what you got to do. And I think I'm telling you this, sweetie, once you start doing it and like the next few times you're like, I'm doing it. Just get my voice in your head. You're like, Elmy just says, grab it. You're going to realize that it's just a natural part of your flow and it won't be as awkward as you think. I'm sure he just wants you to have pleasure. Okay, we're going to go get some dinner, some lamb. I'm right now on lamb.
Is this it for Lick My Weenie in Santorini?
I got that. But we would love your title, ideas for this exposition. We might need to just sketch it out. I hope it made sense to people. Very literal.
But
I love you all. I love Ben. Ben.
Yes.
Ben.
Yes.
You're Ben the Morrison is his
Ben,
Instagram.
Follow me. Instagram. All social networks. Ben the Morrison. And can I give a shout out to the Laugh Factory show?
Oh my God, please.
Yes. Anyone who lives in Los Angeles, I'm beginning
area,
my own.
The Los Angeles
the LA area.
Area.
Beginning my own monthly show at the Laugh Factory. Want to make it the
Sunset.
Hot destination. Emily will be there.
I will be there.
And the first show is August 14th, 7:30 Tuesday. It's called Super Funny. Super Funny at the Laugh Factory. Truth, justice in the American way of laugh. And I'll be putting up a bunch of my friends who I think are the best young voices, some are old in comedy, and kind of showcasing the people I think make me laugh harder than anyone. And it's at the world famous Hollywood Laugh Factory. You can get info and join the comp guest list at superfunny.show, which will have all the info you need, and you can get free tickets. August 14th, Tuesday, 7:30, come on out to the Laugh Factory. It's going to be a great early evening of comedy.
Yeah, I can't wait. Here's the thing I love about dating Ben. what's been amazing is that I always, I love comedy. The comedy shows are fun, but I never thought to get tickets or go to improv show. And when they say that laughter is the best medicine, being with Ben and going to these shows and sitting through your stand-up routines and seeing other comedians and laughing so hard my stomach hurts really is. It's just the serotonin kicks in, the dopamine. You just feel better and you laugh a lot. And
I always said that laughter is the socially acceptable form of the orgasm, and much like an orgasm, when you make yourself laugh, it feels good. But when someone else makes you laugh, it feels really good.
So true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Think how closely related the laughing and I've thought about that. Are.
It's very true.
It's the exact same muscles in your core. You're kind of making the same noises.
Yeah.
Yeah, I laugh so hard. Like, come on out and let me tickle your laughter clit with my joke finger.
I hope to see you all there. It's going to be a really fun show.
Superfunny.show for info and guest list.
Just like you, Ben. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. I love you all. Thanks to Ken, Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.